Omaha Public Radio presents another lecture program from Creighton University on Noon Forum. We'll hear the opening lecture, part of the Distinguished Guest Speaker Series from the 11th Annual Asian Culture Week, presented by the Creighton Asian World Center. This year's theme is Learning with a Mission, Asian and Global Perspectives on Education. Our speaker will be Mary Kane, President and Chief Executive Officer of Sister Cities International, a position which she has held since October 2011. Her topic will be Global Education Through Citizen Diplomacy, the Story of Sister Cities International. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Monday evening, October 26, 2015, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of Creighton University, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Maorong Jiang, the director of the Asian World Center at Creighton University.
I'm here to introduce my dear colleague, Sue Cromford, who is the state senator and also the professor of political science at Creighton. And information about her is quite detailed here, so I'm not going to elaborate more about what she is, what she does, but just to be sure that we are very proud that she is a member of faculty at Creighton, and she also serves the state senate. So it's a great honor that she would come to introduce our distinguished guest speaker tonight. Sue Cromford, please.
Thank you, Maorong, for that warm welcome, and welcome everyone to the first of our many great presentations that we have this week, as always, during our Asian Culture Week. And so we thank you, Maorong, for bringing that to campus. That's such an important opportunity for our students and our faculty and our staff to get a chance to learn more about Asian culture, and we appreciate your work on that. Thank you so much. And I'd like to welcome Mary Kane. Welcome to Nebraska, and welcome to Creighton. So thank you for being here tonight. We're so pleased to have you here tonight to give our distinguished guest lecture on the sister city, the story of the sister cities, and to talk about global education through citizen diplomacy. So we're very pleased to have Mary Kane here tonight. She is president and CEO of Sister Cities International and has been in that position since October 2011. So in that position, she leads the membership youth and education development and advocacy programs to strengthen the sister city network around the world. And we're pleased to have you in our community as part of that position as well. So she has other international experience coming into this role as well. Before she joined Sister Cities International, she was the executive director with the U.S. Chambers of Commerce, where she was responsible for identifying strategic alliances and partnerships. So that is an important international experience that she brings as well. And also before that, she was Secretary of State in Maryland. And I just learned tonight, unlike in Nebraska, where the Secretary of State primarily is engaged in work with election law and organization charters and those kinds of things, in the state of Maryland, the Secretary of State actually has international relations responsibilities. So that's very interesting difference between the states. So we are very happy to have you here to tell us about the story of Sister Cities International and to present our distinguished guest lecture on Global Education Through Citizen Diplomacy, the Story of Sister Cities International. Please help me in welcoming Mary Kane.
Thank you very much, Senator. I very much appreciate it. And it's an honor to be here with all of you this evening. And Maorong, thank you very much. It's hard to keep up with you, but he is always a dynamo and always out there promoting these global education and international relationships. I'd also like to introduce Larry Ubner, who is the state coordinator for Nebraska for Sister Cities International and also a member of the honorary board. Larry is a wonderful... Oh, I'm sorry, the official board. You're right. Yes, you are on that official board. I won't forget that. And we are off tomorrow to Japan, to Shizuoka, to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Omaha-Shizuoka sister city relationship, which is a very stellar relationship within the entire network of sister cities. Now, just to give you some background, Sister Cities International consists of 545 U.S. cities that have over 2,100 partnerships in 143 countries. We were started on September 11th, 1956, by President Dwight Eisenhower. And it was we were still having issues after World War II with our friends in Germany and Japan. And he knew that the only way that we were going to get over this was if we started people-to-people exchanges, that we actually met each other face-to-face, that we actually realized that we're much more similar than we are different, that we all love our families, we all love our countries, and we all want the best, and we all want peace. And actually, he stated that citizens need to leap over governments and meet each other, because that's the only way that true peace was going to happen. Now, as far as Sister Cities International is concerned, I want you to know, and this is one of the things we've been trying to tell everyone, you need to look at us as your Washington, D.C. office. We look at you as our Omaha office. You need to look at us as your advocate in Washington, D.C., because we have all those connections with the State Department. We're at Capitol Hill, and if you don't know, every president since President Eisenhower has been the honorary chairperson of Sister Cities International. We're not political, obviously. If we can have every single one since Eisenhower be involved in our organization. So we're there to assist. Wait, let me tell you a few of the programs. We have Cities Seeking Cities, which is an amazing match.com for cities. So it's not an algorithm, but what we do is we have about 400 cities from around the world that have signed on with us. We have about 40 or 50 cities in the United States, and what we do is we try to put them together. You may not know where to go or who to see. You may be a very small community. So what we'll do is we'll assist in putting you together, also by contacting the embassies. We're direct connect with all the FSOs in embassies throughout the world. And so we have a youth leadership summit, and I really would love all of you guys to send high school students to Washington, D.C. next year. It's our 60th anniversary of Sister Cities International. Come, and we plan to have a wonderful summit there. We have High School Homestay, J-1 Visa Program. We have a Young Artist and Author Showcase. As you can see, Sister Cities, we're trying to focus on youth because those are our next leaders. We have to reach out and get our youth involved, whether it's grade school, high school, university students, in connecting with each other. And today, it is much easier to do because we have technology. When Eisenhower started this, nobody thought of Facebook or Twitter or any of those places or things, and Skype. I mean, those are amazing things to keep people in touch. There's absolutely no excuse anymore for not keeping in touch. And I have a wonderful story. My as far as Facebook, and I hope everybody has the Facebook page and they update it regularly. But my daughter, one of her best friends growing up, is father is now the governor of Kirkuk in Iraq. And when he was going over in 2011 to take over as being governor, Aveen asked my daughter Grace to go with them. And my husband and I thought about it, and they were like, you know, Governor Karim is not going to allow these girls and his wife, who had not been back to Iraq in 33 years, to go over if it wasn't safe. And I even asked General Jim Jones, who was at the time, or right after being the National Security Advisor, he said, yes, right now it's okay. He goes, I can't really guarantee it 3 months from now, but right now you're okay. So she was going over for 2 weeks. But, of course, I wasn't going to tell my parents, because my parents, both Irish, Catholic, wonderful people, they would have been lighting every candle up and down the East Coast in every church had they known their granddaughter was in Iraq. And I was trying to avoid really talking to my mom, and which was not an easy thing to do because I didn't want to lie to her when she asked me, where's Grace or what's Grace doing? And so finally I broke down, and Grace was coming home the next day. And I saw them, and I walked in, and I said, okay, I just want to let you know Grace is in Iraq. And my dad, of course, goes with his Irish brogue, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, you've got to be kidding me. Grace can't be in Iraq. And he's just going on and just really upset. And I'm like, it's okay. She's coming home tomorrow. Everything's okay. And I look at my mother, and I said, you don't seem to be really upset about this. And she goes, I knew. I said, how did you know? She goes, Facebook. I said, oh, of course you did. And I said, well, obviously you didn't tell Dad. Well, she goes, no, look at him. I would have had to live with that for the past 2 weeks. But it's a story. You can stay connected. There is no reason that we can't keep these relationships thriving and keeping youth involved. We have we're having our 60th annual conference next year in Washington, D.C. Please come. It will be a wonderful opportunity to be in Washington, D.C. with citizen diplomats just like yourselves from all over the world. In fact, the Japanese embassy has already offered to host an evening at the ambassador's residence for everyone who comes. So if that just gives you a little bit of impetus to decide to put that on your calendar, July 14th through the 16th. So, but also there's peer learning and networking. Sister Cities International does that really well. We do all of those things, but I need your help. I need your help to continue this remarkable force of Sister Cities. We need to strengthen our long-term relationships, but we also need to start new sister cities, sister states, and sister counties. We need to celebrate our relationships with Germany, Japan, Ireland, and Mexico. Okay, those are easy ones. But we also need to start growing relationships in the Middle East and North Africa. We need more there. We're not going to start getting over what's going on right now. As I talked to the German embassy last week, they expect 1 million Syrian refugees to be in that country by the end of this year. They're beside themselves. And he actually asked for our help to reach out to all the German sister cities to see if they can help their local communities, whether it's food, clothing, funds, because these refugees over the summer took over a lot of the gymnasiums where the schools were. So now the kids are back in school. They don't have anywhere to go. And the problem is they don't have the manpower to determine whether someone is a political refugee or is there just because they came in with everybody else. But those are the things that are going on that we need to be part of. We need to increase our friendships in Iraq and Afghanistan. I will tell you, we have a wonderful, wonderful San Diego. Jalalabad has an amazing relationship, and they have started this. It's high school students once a month on Skype. High school in Jalalabad, high school in San Diego. And they get online and they, you know, figured out the time difference. But it's so interesting to see the kids in San Diego have to look at a split screen because the boys and the girls can't be in the same classroom. And in fact, it was just the boys' school for quite a while, and they've now included the girls. We had a Google Hangout with the State Department just last week, and one of the high school students from Jalalabad called in. And he said, I'm here, I got on. He goes, and he just went on, and if you want to hear it, it's on YouTube or Sister Cities, you can go on our website. But he just talked about how wonderful this has been in dispelling the things that he had heard about his peers in the United States, that they are very similar. And then they all start talking about it. those are the ways we're going to change these things. It's not necessarily we need military power, absolutely, but it's changing the minds at a much younger level. And why? And I say this because it might make some people feel really uncomfortable, but think of our predecessors when President Eisenhower asked them to build relationships with Japan and Germany after World War II. Think of how uncomfortable that was. We've seen the benefits of citizen diplomacy in our relationships with Germany and Japan. In fact, we buy an awful lot of cars from Germany and Japan. But I will tell you, back in 1956, that was not the case. And it wasn't until we started getting people together, and he put that on us and said, please start these relationships. I have to tell you that right now we have, since 1959, 199 communities have established sister cities with Japan. And they're very productive, as you can see in your own community. And we have 119 with Germany. Those also are extraordinarily productive. It's one of the reasons BMW built a plant in South Carolina. It's because of their sister city relationship there. Nagaoka and their sister city, less than 1 month ago, or a little over a month ago, Nagaoka, Japan, brought its famous fireworks to Pearl Harbor to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II in the Pacific. Nagaoka and their sister city in Honolulu, along with the U.S. Navy and Hawaii, jointly hosted the historic 70 Years of Peace commemorative event on historic Ford Island at Joint Base Pearl Harbor. Now, in Germany, there was a town in Maryland, Hagerstown, Maryland, wishing to set an example. They were the first ones. It was set a Wesel, Germany, and they formally joined hands as sister cities by public proclamation on March 10, 1952. They were actually one of the examples that Eisenhower had used. And somehow, they celebrate August-Oktoberfest in Maryland and Oktoberfest in Germany. And think about that. 70 years ago, that would have been unheard of. And that's not that long ago. And we've been able to turn it that much because of developing these people-to-people relationships. I mean, our closeness, of course, has been helped by official diplomatic channels, numerous trade deals, treaties, but the slow and steady cultivation of these allies was most aided by the millions of interactions by everyday citizens representing their own views and their own communities. And this is why opportunities to work, study, travel, and interact with citizens in countries that are our nominal adversaries are so critical, whether it's Cuba, Iran, Russia, or another country with whom ties are strained. And this is Eisenhower's quote, "We need to work out not one method, but thousands of methods of which people can gradually learn a little bit more of each other. How do we dispel ignorance? How do we present our own case? How do we strengthen friendships? How do we learn of others? These are our problems. But sister cities can be the answer. It's not the only way to do it, but it sure is a real strong one, and 60 years to prove it." In the 1950s, high school teacher Amanda Necht visited Brest, France in 1947. That city had been bombed extensively during a six-week period in the Second World War, and more than 5,000 sorties flew over the city before the occupying Germans finally surrendered. Necht told her students in Denver about the devastation done by the war, and over the next year, think about this, Denver students raised more than $32,000 in nickels, pennies, and dimes. The funds were presented to the city of Brest to be used to rebuild the children's wing of the Brest City Hospital. And to this day, that relationship is still extraordinarily strong. And they do student, municipal, cultural, and business exchanges every year. And in fact, wine tastings are very common. They share that all the time. In the 60s, America didn't always see people of different races breaking bread together, but this wasn't the case with sister cities. During this turbulent decade, we were developing relationships in Africa, Asia, and Latin America through student and municipal exchanges, leading to substantial benefits for each community. For example, Montego Bay and Jamaica played a major role in the development of the civil rights movement in the United States. In their earlier days, civil rights leaders used to go to Montego Bay. They used it as a base to plan their strategies on pursuing many of their civil rights goals. It was therefore very fitting in 1972 that Atlanta and Montego Bay saw the need to formalize a partnership under the umbrella of Sister Cities International. In the 1980s, in 1979, St. Louis signed the first Chinese sister city relationship with Nanjing, immediately following the reinstitution of diplomatic relations. And I have to tell you, Chinese New Year last year, it was the year of the horse. Budweiser used to be in St. Louis. They actually sent the entire Clydesdales by ship over to Nanjing to celebrate the New Year. That's how important those are going. And it was actually a professor at St. Louis University that started that relationship. And in the 1990s, we saw the positive effects of sports diplomacy. And I hope you guys are thinking about things like this too. The first Sister Cities World Cup was in Lexington, Kentucky for middle school soccer students from all of their participants. And I talked to one person who did that, and she said the kids from Russia came, they didn't have shin guards. They had to go out and they had to go actually outfit these kids so that they would be in compliance. And last year, this was the funniest thing, we got a call from friends of ours in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They wanted to host the very first Sister Cities International Bowl for American football. And I'm like, that's great. I can't wait. So 185 people went over from Narashino, Japan, to play football in August in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. The entire city was involved. And then they got to go over to see Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide and hang out for practices with them. And one thing, after the Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, they all signed a ball from the game for their sister city team in Poland, the Glendinia Seahawks, who named their American football team after the Seattle Seahawks. But to think of that, think of the all those football players sitting down to sign that ball to send over to their sister city. In 2000, we had September 11th. It's terrible. It was awful, and the outpouring of support from our sister cities around the world was incredible. The sister cities with New York stepped up. Tokyo sent $5 million to the city and another $5 million to New York State. Jerusalem sent supplies for the first responders. The mayor of Rome withdrew their bid for the 2012 Olympics and urged that New York City be awarded the honor. Prime Minister Tony Blair attended the services at St. Thomas for the missing 300 British citizens and all the others involved in the attack. And actually, they changed the Sister Cities Festival called UK in NY, was changed to UK with NY. And in 2010, one of SCI's most important strategic plan initiatives is to develop, in the 2010s, these stronger relationships between the Middle East and the United States. I mean, we have to be at the forefront of this. One example is that we have now signed a memo with EcoPeace Middle East to build trilateral relationships between U.S. cities and Israeli, Palestinian, Jordanian communities focusing on water issues. And it's actually working. They actually got together in Chicago a couple months ago. And after the recession, we've seen the struggle that many programs have had justifying why they're important to their community. We've heard you, okay? When a mayor or city council changes, you need tools to explain why they need to assist you with funding and access. And now, because of our new program that we have just launched October 6th, it's called Measures That Matter. And we spent a year and a half asking all of our sister cities to send us data on exchanges and economic development opportunities that they have had. and we publish this, we now have the ability. I'd like you to go online and look at all of the stories, all of the impact that has happened. But just we were just able to measure a tip. This is the first year. And this was just direct, like student exchanges or just exchanges back and forth for Sister City celebrations. We were able to determine that the economic impact on the United States from Sister Cities just for this small portion is $155 million. And then the economic impact on the communities that we go visit is it's exponential. So I encourage you to please go on our website, look at that. But what we've also done is now we have developed a methodology so that when Omaha, when we ask you to fill out your survey and to stay members of Sister Cities International, we will give you a survey. You fill that out. We will be able, if you'd like, us to process all of that information through our methodology and hand you a report from Sister Cities International that you can take to your mayor and to your city council and to your state senator and say, this is what we brought to our community last year. And I know that this is one of the things that we really had to do, and we've made a big focus on it. And it's there are benefits to these cultural exchanges. And sometimes we get little, you know, oh, yeah, it's just a little cultural thing. No, it's a big thing, because what people don't understand is that this leads into economic development. You have to build that trust. The one thing that sometimes in the United States we don't understand is that we have a great legal system. But that's not the case in every country. If you don't build that trust and get to know people's families and get to know them personally, that business deal isn't necessarily going to work. It really won't, because there won't be that bond of making sure everybody benefits. Now, let me tell you, the average budget for a local program like Omaha, and actually Larry can verify this, is $5,357. So you're not alone, okay, in having that little budget. But each partnership has an average of 533 participants in programs and events, and the economic value locally, just a small tip, is at least $73,000. And just this past year, we had 1,100 inbound exchanges with 14,153 participants and 944 outbound exchanges with almost 10,000 participants. And we've been able to measure that the total number of volunteers in the U.S. is over 32,000, and the total number of youth involved in SCI activities is over 15,000. The total number of events held throughout the United States is over 2,300. And through careful analysis, we can say that last year the total number of participants in Sister City activities, or that the amount of money, was a direct effect on the U.S. economy of $155 million. And on the global economy, it was $185 million. And these are very, very conservative numbers. And this is very serious. It's serious business, because every community can trade now. And if you're not, you're not doing the best you can for your community. You really aren't. It's something that we have to be involved globally. And if you're not, you're going to get left behind. So just a few fun facts of Sister Cities. I told you about our honorary chairperson. But did you know Secretary Norm Mineta, who is actually going to be one of the co-chairs for our 60th anniversary, was a member of the board of Sister Cities International? And the very first sister city with Cuba was Mobile, Alabama. Actually, we have 9 very active partnerships with Cuba that have been going on for many years and have been contacted by the State Department. We put on a forum at George Washington University over a month ago at their School of Public Diplomacy on these sister city relationships with Cuba. And we participated with the State Department, because things aren't going as quickly as the administration has wanted. So they've come to us to say, you have to keep the connections those citizen connections. That's what's going to move this forward. So did you know that vice presidential candidate Geraldine Ferraro was on the board of directors of SCI? And if you haven't heard it, Sister Cities International, and it's also your theme song if you would like to adopt it, was written by John Denver. And it's actually a very good song. The university, and this is an interesting thing for our folks here at the university, the University of Toledo, Ohio, actually, the president was walking around with the mayor one day, and they're trying to, we have to diversify this campus. And so the president of the university looked at the mayor and said, well, what about all those sister city relationships they have? So now, any student from any of the sister city relationships with Toledo, Ohio, gets in-state tuition. It diversified their campus like that. And that goes on to this day. But I could talk about all of this work that each and every one of you do, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. But I have to tell you, sister cities pay off. And I'm going to tell you a story that was pretty amazing. In 2012, February of 2012, Vice President Xi Jinping was coming to visit Vice President Biden. This was before he was going to become president of China. And the State Department said, okay, you'll go to Washington, D.C., and then you go to Los Angeles. And he came back and he said, no, I'm actually going to Muscatine, Iowa, to have tea with my host family. And they were all up in arms. They're like, what? And they found out that in 1985, Xi Jinping had been on a sister state delegation, an agricultural delegation, to Muscatine, Iowa, where they were learning actually about pig farming. And he had to go back. He had kept everything from his trip. I mean, photos, everything. In fact, Governor Bramstead was the governor in 1985. He took a little break. He's back being governor in 2012. And he walked up and was greeting Vice President Xi Jinping. And Xi Jinping said, oh, no, I've met you before. And he goes, I have the picture to prove it. So then they had a state dinner in Des Moines, Iowa for the president. And he stood, or vice president, and he stood up and he said, when I think of America, I think of my host family. And he has flown those folks back and forth forever. I was able to go to that, and I was pretty amazed at the connection that was there. But I was really lucky a month ago, or less than a month ago, to go to Tacoma, Washington, when President Xi Jinping came for his very first state visit to the United States to visit with a state dinner with President Obama. But he was first stopping in Seattle, Washington. Well, of course, he was going to go to Seattle, and he was going to visit Microsoft, and he was going to meet with folks and discuss cybersecurity and all those very important issues. But he left Microsoft, and he got in the car, he took off his tie, and he went to Lincoln High School in Tacoma, Washington. It's kind of hard to believe there wasn't a little bit more press about it, but the Pope was here at the same time, so it was. But I was in Lincoln High School when he came in, and he first went to football practice, and then he went to an AP government class, and then he came into the auditorium to see everyone, and they brought all the kids in, and his wife was with him, and of course the choir sang her song in perfect Mandarin, which was amazing, and the choir teacher was actually a Mrs. Eisenhower, who happened to be a relative of Dwight Eisenhower, and he stood there, and he was just so he was talking to those kids. It was pretty amazing, and he must have rehearsed this, but he said, I brought you presents. And he turned, and they opened the curtain on the stage. And behind this curtain were these bookshelves with all these books. And he said, I want you, these are books on Chinese history and Chinese culture. He said, we know a lot about you, but you need to learn a lot more about us. and I've brought these so you can study about us. He goes, I've also brought you 5 ping pong tables. And he talked about how the little ball turned the big ball. And he said, it was before your time, but it was a big deal. And then he invited 100 of them to be his guests in China next year, which, of course, the whole place went crazy. But then everybody was like, why is he going to Tacoma? Well, 21 years ago, he was the party secretary that signed the sister city relationship between Fuzhou and Tacoma, Washington. And he was going to be there to see his friends again. And he signed it in Lincoln High School. A little bit of a soft spot. There has to be a little bit of a soft spot there. I mean, to want to go back and do those things. But I can also tell you that Tacoma, Washington, at the port, is building 2 methanol gas transfer stations at $1 billion apiece through China. And also, any bottle of wine that you get in Fuzhou, state of Washington. So, I mean, it's just, that was 21 years ago. Iowa, when he left Iowa in 2012, they had signed a $4.3 billion soybean deal. These relationships make a difference. So anytime someone says, oh, it's just this, or it's a little cultural exchange, no. This is citizen diplomacy at its best. It's building world peace. You're making a difference. And you can't. I can't believe that those relationships have not made a difference with President Xi Jinping. We've seen the difference they made in Germany and Japan. Now it's up to us to spread these. We need to take on the hard ones. And that's really something that I encourage really great cities like Omaha to do. Sit down and look at how you can stretch just a little bit to bring in those cities where we really do need peace. We're building a lot of prosperity around the world, but you can't have a prosperous world, nation or town, without having peace. So I just want to say thank you very much for having me here this evening. And if you have any questions, I'll take some questions.
Thank you so much for sharing those inspirational stories. Mm-hmm. So, I agreed to facilitate questions, but since we're recording, we actually need to have you come up to ask your question into the mic. So, instead of me calling on you, I would just ask if you would come up and cue to be able to ask questions from here. I'll ask an introductory question. Mm-hmm. If we are interested in establishing a new sister city relationship, who does that? Is it the mayor? Is there a committee in Omaha? How does that work to establish a new relationship?
Well, as far as Omaha, you have to go through the mayor because they are agreements signed by the mayor, but it's usually a group of people in the community that have an interest in it, diaspora group. I know in Minneapolis, Minnesota, they just signed the very first Somalian sister city relationship because there were a lot of refugees that were sent to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Washington, D.C., we have a lot. We have 19% of the population in Washington, D.C. is Ethiopian. So we signed a sister city agreement with Addis Ababa 2 years ago. 500 people came out. We couldn't even fit them in City Hall. It was amazing. And now, anytime you walk around and you meet someone from Ethiopia, they know all about it and doing those exchanges. So it's up to your community. We can help you in any way you'd like, but you need to form a committee or a group of people that are interested in doing it on the local level first.
For a particular city.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you again for your talk. I was just curious, and maybe you touched on this with your point about Cuba and even the Chinese sister city that was formed right after the reopening of diplomatic relations, but do you have any good examples of where sister city has established some sort of a relationship and that has prompted an action by the national government or the State Department to open up diplomatic communication? And then also, what are some of the, maybe the initiatives looking into places we don't have diplomatic communication with and forming relationships with them?
Well, I mean, Cuba is our best example because we kept up the dialogue even though our governments weren't talking. Right now, I will tell you, Russia is a challenge. We had, when Putin came out and was, you know, the LGBT issue was a problem. And there was an organization in Washington, D.C. that actually went on a rampage about you need to break off all the sister city relationships with Russia. We have 75. And we immediately came in and said, absolutely not. Don't. That's the worst thing you could possibly do, is to cut off the dialogue between citizens. We had many different conference calls. I remember being on the phone with the mayor of Charlotte, trying to calm them down. We wrote a policy and thought we were over it, and then Ukraine. And that then started a lot. But I will tell you, we have been able to keep, we have 23 relationships with Ukraine. And actually Santa Cruz, California has one with Crimea, which has been, you know, it's been difficult. We've talked to the Ukrainian embassy, and they are asking for help. They need a lot of help. But we were able to keep Chicago has Kiev and Moscow as their sister cities. So we were able to keep those still intact. But those are lots of challenges, but that's why you have a Washington, D.C. office like us, because you don't have to do this all by yourself. And we can give you all those examples. Like, we came in and immediately called all of those 75 Russian sister city partnerships. And we're able to give them actually an example of a sister city, a Russian sister city in Maine, that actually were teaching the kids, the people were coming over and actually staying and visiting with members of the LGBT community. And it was maybe a little stretch that they did that, but it's the right thing to do. So, I'm sorry, did I?
No, that was great. Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question. Actually, followed up what Scott just said. Mm-hmm. Sure, we have a relationship, according to your introduction, we have the relationship with many countries. They were used to be and dangerous to us, like Japan, Germany. Mm-hmm. Now they are our friends. We can see the progress mm-hmm. that sister city has made. But my question is, working with those countries probably is not that difficult now, but they are still have countries that they are not Americans' friends. It's hard. That was a scarce problem. China actually is pretty open to the United States. But how about what is your the sister city in D.C. think about develop a relationship with North Korea?
What we would not necessarily be involved in anything that would be going that a sister city relationship right now with North Korea. What should have happened was after the war, we should have had more Korean relationships established. Just like after Vietnam, we should have had a lot more relationships established. Unfortunately, since we do get State Department funding, that is one of the ones that we can't sign relationships with.
So you do not support developing relationships?
I do support developing relationships. Can they be official sister city relationships right now? Not necessarily.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you again thank so you. Much for being here and answering
oh,
no. questions.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a lecture program from Creighton University on Noon Forum. We've heard the opening lecture, part of the Distinguished Guest Speaker Series from the 11th Annual Asian Culture Week, presented by the Creighton Asian World Center. This year's theme is Learning with a Mission, Asian and Global Perspectives on Education. Our speaker has been Mary Kane, President and Chief Executive Officer of Sister Cities International, a position which she has held since October 2011. Her topic was Global Education Through Citizen Diplomacy, the story of Sister Cities International. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Monday evening, October 26, 2015, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Cindy Workman, Director of Public Relations at Creighton University, and Maorong Jang, Director of the Asian World Center, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 500 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Coate, thanking you for listening.